Hey, what's up? Welcome to the show, Ivy Nation Sports Talk. We're up, we're rolling. I'll have some company here in a minute. Ryan Roberts is going to talk a little Notre Dame football recruiting. I've seen the chat going crazy with plenty of Notre Dame recruiting stuff right now, some ups, some downs, and all arounds. Full disclosure, Ryan, we had to record this afternoon. Today is his wedding anniversary, seventh wedding anniversary. Happy anniversary to Ryan and his wife. It's also actually my dad's birthday, so happy birthday to my dad, Jim, as well, even though he'll probably never listen or watch. But in any case, happy happies to both of them. So because Ryan and his wife had things to do tonight, we had to record what you're going to hear here, or watch here, whatever you want to look at it here in a moment. Jesse's going to be along live after that, though, for Rapid Fire, and we've got a lot of juicy stuff going on in Rapid Fire tonight as well. So happy birthday, Brett. Brett says it's his birthday as well. July 9th, baby. Happy, happy. Hit the like button as you're checking in here. Of course, we appreciate it, and it helps us out quite a bit. So I'm not going to waste any time. We're going to talk some recruiting. Ryan joining me right now to do so. I am glad that Notre Dame training camp is roughly 3 weeks away at this point. We've got to have something to look forward to, and training camp is it. Ryan Roberts is here. Of course, you know, we all look forward to Ryan Roberts. We've become accustomed over the last few months to having Ryan on the show. This is it, though. This is the finale for Ryan Roberts on this show. Is this the final IB show that you will do? Do you have any more scheduled the rest of the week?
I don't know how long I'm going to be on Friday for the mailbag, but I am going to be at least on part of the mailbag.
He's part of the mailbag. Okay.
Yeah, I guess Friday will technically be the last show on Irish Breakdown, yes. But I think this one is technically the last recruiting segment-centric type of conversation. You know what I mean? So
right.
A little bit more right. Recruiting-related.
You might get a few recruiting questions on Friday with everything going on.
It's over, Sean. I hope not. It's over. An era is over, sir.
What would Brian do, like, you know, if you just showed up with a tall lot Long Island iced tea poured and just kind of kicked back and
I mean, Friday. I guess I haven't got my last check, right? So like that would probably be a really bad decision on my part.
Fair
if
point.
I had my last check, I guess technically he could do nothing because it's not like he could fire me. But yeah. I do still have something on the line, I guess, right? And I'm also going to be coming on shows in the fall, so I can't fracture a relationship in that way, I guess.
That's right. Now, I hear, are you still going to do the post-game show? Is that what's going to happen? Okay.
Yep. I think there might be one post-game show that I can't be on because of a wedding situation, but otherwise, yes, I should be on every other post-game show. And the tentative plan is for also me to go to the Meadowlands when they play Navy here in Jersey. So
cool.
That's on the docket as well.
Very cool. All right. Yeah. So we've got that to look forward to. That's exciting news that Ryan will at least keep some tentacles at IB.
And I told someone that I'm always going to be in the shadows on the message board. I'm not going to engage as much, obviously, because, you know, I have a different job now. But
right.
I mean, I'll be watching. I'll be watching all the clamor
lurking,
and all the
judging.
Negativity. Oh, judging. Absolutely. 100% judging. Absolutely.
All right. Okay. So, of course, the Ivan Taylor news. I mean, I know Brian was talking about that earlier today on his show. So we'll get to that. We'll save that since there's been at least a decent amount of talk on that already. Two big wide receiver targets still on the board. Well, really three, I guess, with Dylan Robinson out there as well. But the two I wanted to ask you about, Derek Meadows and Tanuq Hines, since they have commitment dates coming up. Meadows just set his commitment date this Saturday. He'll pick between Notre Dame, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, and Michigan. So what have you got on Mr. Meadows right now?
So we talked about him a lot on the Notre Dame recruiting hour, Sean. Wide receiver recruiting was obviously a huge topic, but at that point, we didn't know when Derek Meadows would be making a decision. There was a September 1st date that was being thrown out there a couple weeks ago that hadn't been like overly cemented or verified. And honestly, that would have played into Notre Dame's favor a lot better if it was a little bit further out, because I have been on the record on this, and I still believe this now that the commitment date has been set for Bishop Gorman, wide receiver Derek Meadows out of Las Vegas, Nevada, that I think Notre Dame did a great job during the official visit period of cutting the gap, is the best way to put it. I think that Notre Dame was running as the favorite for a while there after the Kalen DeBoer transitioned from Washington to Alabama. But once Alabama, Georgia, LSU, a couple others, Michigan included, that started to get into the fold, I just felt like there were some schools that were trending upward, and not even necessarily that Notre Dame was trending downward, but they were stagnated a little bit, right? Like, they were kind of the known commodity. There wasn't a ton of movement. There were other schools that were now into the fold. And the official visit, I thought, was very important for Notre Dame because you needed to, one, cut the gap, and two, to hopefully take a lead, right, going down the stretch. There were some people that believed, sources, that Notre Dame had taken a slight lead. I still felt like it was more of a cutting the gap type of situation. I felt like, okay, it was a little bit more of an even playing field. But then we kind of, after talking about the situation, it would have just been a lot more advantageous for Notre Dame if the commitment date was a little bit further out, because that gives you, one, more time, relationship building, Coach Denbrock, Coach Brown, all that type of stuff. But then also, for like a battle against Alabama, for instance, Alabama is a school that has a lot of receivers that are on the board, and there will be some movements over the next several weeks with a few of them, right? So you were looking at it and saying, maybe a school like Alabama, who is probably the favorites, maybe they fill up with a couple guys where now Notre Dame is more attractive, or they just have a spot overall. So maybe waiting out period might actually be better for your chances with Derek Meadows. But now that it's cemented and it is Saturday, that is out the window. Now it just comes down strictly to, where does Derek Meadows want to go? He has his pick. I don't feel optimistic about Notre Dame's chances. We'll just leave it at that. Hopefully things change over the next couple days, but I do believe that it's more likely Derek Meadows goes to the SEC on Saturday than he goes up to South Bend, Indiana.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Tanuk Hines, there was some, I think, a little confusion on when he was going to commit. I think some people thought that he was going to commit this past Monday, but it's going to be next Monday, right? 15th?
Yeah. So it was actually a very interesting situation. So he actually had ended up delaying it because he was, and he still is, going to make his commitments with his teammate Nick Townsend, who's a 4-star tight end defensive end in the 2025 class as well. They're teammates at the Caney High School in Houston, Texas. So what happened, Sean, is they were supposed to make the commitment on Monday, but there was a hurricane in Houston, apparently, and they had gotten affected by that, so everything got delayed. So they are going to be making that commitment on, what is it, the 15th, right? Yeah, it would be the 15th, which is next Monday. So they were making their commitment. It is going to be a really interesting decision because I've talked about this one a lot at this point, and I think that it's a 3-horse race. I believe Notre Dame, USC, and Texas are the three schools to know at this point, right? Okay. Like, he's got Arizona State, he's got Baylor, like, you know, a couple other schools that did a pretty good job. Texas A&M was even included in the list, but I do think it's those three schools. And what each of them have going for them is Notre Dame has showed to new kinds that he's a great fit for Notre Dame, which is awesome. He loves the campus. He's felt like a family when he's been up there. It's been really good. Texas, he's a Texas kid, right? So yeah. Playing for the Longhorns obviously means a lot to a Texas high school football player. So that's the appeal. And obviously the peer pressure around him. And then also the teammate that he's making the commitment with, Nick Townsend, is a player that seems to be trending to Texas, right? So like all that together, Texas seems like a big counterpart here. And then the other one is USC, which we talked about. Huge NIL offer that came in from them. That's been their late push down the stretch, is more of a not monetary push. I think that it's going to be Texas or Notre Dame. I think USC has done a great job. I think that they are definitely in shouting distance, and this could change over the next week because we know how volatile the recruiting space is. But I do think this is a Texas Notre Dame thing. I am about 50-50 on this one right now, Sean. Like I have been more in the 7 range of optimism for Notre Dame, feeling like they were a kind of a leader. I'm more in like the 5 range right now. Like I still think Notre Dame has a chance. But I do think that a school like Texas has given them, obviously, a run for the money down the stretch, and then USC coming from behind as well. This is going to be a battle until the end. They have a shot, but I am just a little bit – I'm just going to kind of take a step back, watch, and see what happens over the next couple of days, because I do think that this decision is still a little bit in flux right now.
Interesting. Okay, so it's going to come down to the wire, it sounds like, for these guys. And you know, Dylan Robinson, he doesn't have a date yet,
right?
Oh, he does.
Yeah, oh, he does now.
Yep. What is his date?
So he's July 18th. So he's next week as well, which is, what would that be? Thursday of next week?
So that's 9 days from now. Yeah, a week from Thursday, basically.
Yeah. So Thursday of next week, Dylan Robinson will be making his decision as well. That one, and I actually, Sean, you'd be proud of me, man. I actually broke that news. Nobody knew about that before me. I broke that he was committing on July 18th. So
very nice.
Yeah. Do something right occasionally. Laverne, California, Benita, wide receiver, 6'2", 190 pounds. We talked about him, I think, last week or the week before on the show as far as the pitches have been very unique for Dylan Robinson. Notre Dame likes him at wide receiver. UCLA likes him strictly on the defensive side of the football in the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
And Washington likes him as a defensive back, but they've kind of opened it up to, like, you can also play some offense too, potentially. So, like, yeah. A little bit of a kind of a athlete pitch to him. Notre Dame, Washington are the top two teams, in my opinion, here. UCLA, I think, did a great job, but I do think they are running third at this point. I've been feeling really good about Notre Dame over the last week or so, though. I will say this. I think Washington has really cut the gap, and this one is like a neck-and-neck race, in my opinion. It really is. There's folks on Notre Dame's side that feel confident about their chance. There's folks on Washington that feel confidence on their chance. Last time I spoke to Dylan, just kind of flat out told me that he's still weighing his options. There's pros and cons, and he's still trying to figure it out. So I don't think a decision has necessarily been made yet, but this is a Notre Dame-Washington battle. It really is going to depend on who closes hardest down the stretch. That's what's going to determine if they are able to land Dylan Robinson or not.
All right, so like these are the three guys they're obviously still in pursuit of, all three, you know, highly thought of. And otherwise, the class is
two linebackers left on the board. That's it. I mean, if you're just talking about wide receiver exclusive, wide receiver, three wide receivers on the board. If they miss on two of those three, or they miss on all three, God forbid, then I think that there's going to be a obvious reshuffling of a board, revisiting a couple of guys, expanding the board. Like, those things have to happen. You cannot leave this class, which is a good wide receiver class, in my opinion, actually, you cannot leave with two wide receiver commits in this class. You just can't do it, right? So I think that they would have to regroup, figure it out, go from there. The two linebackers on the board that we've talked about, Nathaniel Owusu-Boateng, Madden Foremo, neither one has a commitment date set yet, but expect probably something for both sometime this summer. Other than that, safety, right? Figuring out that spot that's been vacated by Ivan Taylor. We mentioned on the board a couple of days ago, and it wasn't a big shot because he actually announced an offer last week. But Brandon Logan, who's the in-state kid from Indiana, is the player that it seems like Notre Dame is really targeting now for that Ivan Taylor spot at safety, because they do want three safeties in this class. A very unique one though, Sean, that I don't know if you've heard much about this Brandon Logan kid though, but like he is in-state kid. Like I said, I think he goes to R. Nelson Snyder, I believe is the high school he goes to. 5'11", 185 pounds. He actually camped at Irish Invasion a couple weeks ago. He ran 4.44 in the 40-yard dash. He had a 4.16 short shuttle, and he had a 10'4" broad jump as well. So he tested out of this world.
Oh, this is really good. This is the baseball commit to Vanderbilt, correct. Right?
Correct. Okay. Yeah. Right. So he went to Irish Invasion. He looked fantastic. He has been committed to Vanderbilt for baseball since his freshman year of high school. So it's been years at this point. Notre Dame initially was aiming for him as a baseball scholarship player that would also play football. So kind of a Jordan Faison type of thing, right? As far as being a scholarship on another sport. Now that Ivan Taylor is gone and that scholarship spot's open, it appears that they are now aiming for him just as a football scholarship guy that can also play baseball. So fantastic baseball player. I just did a little write-up on him. It is high school career, not like just junior year, but he's a 450 batter his entire career of high school so far. He's a speedy outfielder. I think he ran like 6.39 seconds, I think, is his 60-meter dash, which is like the baseline or whatever, or like a home to first or whatever it is, right? So he is a really athletic kid. He tested really well. It's not obviously going to be a downgrade from a talent perspective from Ivan Taylor to this kid, but this kid does have some athletic traits that are very appealing. And Notre Dame's obviously going to push for him moving forward as a football guy that's also going to play baseball, but he's going to be on scholarship for football if they're able to land a Brandon Logan.
Yeah, you threw me there for a second, because when you said R. Nelson Snyder High School, I don't think I'd ever heard the R. Nelson used before, but Fort Wayne Snyder is, you know, kind of how it's known.
You blame the recruiting services, man. That's what everyone lists it as.
No, okay, I know. It's like, you know how it is. It's like, you're like around, you know, if you're from Indianapolis, for example, we've got these now three South Bend high schools. You know, they'll call it South Bend Adams or South Bend Washington, South Bend Riley. Around here, it's, you know, like John Adams or Adams High School, Washington High School, Riley High School, you know, that kind of thing.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, I mean, he's an interesting player though. I know Brian Driscoll got to see him down at the Irish Invasion, and he was very impressed. I mean, like his film, I think there's a lot of positives there. I do think there's some things that I'm worried a little bit about, but tests really well. He has football scholarships now to Notre Dame, Indiana, Iowa are the three schools that have offered him as a football player. So I think this is a young man that would be ranked a lot higher, would have a lot more offers if he hadn't committed to play baseball for Vanderbilt when he was a freshman in high school. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if he was a guy that just kind of let the process play out, he'd probably have a long list of offers. Because again, the only three offers he has are legit Power Four offers. It's not like I'm talking about like Liberty, or not Liberty. Liberty is not a good example, but Coastal Carolina or like something like that. It's like these are legitimate, you know, Big Ten Notre Dame offer. So it's not
Vanderbilt, Clark Lee down there at Vanderbilt, football hasn't offered him from a football standpoint.
He doesn't have a reported offer from Vanderbilt, and to my knowledge, because he actually camped at Notre Dame when he was a sophomore, and I talked to him at that point, and I remember asking like, so you're committed to Vanderbilt. He's like, yeah, for baseball. And I'm like, oh, are you going to play football as well? Is that something you're exploring? And at that time, Sean, he said, no, I'm just playing baseball in college. Like, I'm not going to play football. And I was like, oh, that's super interesting. So things have changed is what I'm trying to say with Brandon Logan. Like, he was once a just playing baseball kid. That was it.
Right.
I'm just going to play baseball. He is just more recently now open to playing football. So I don't know if Vanderbilt has pitched that to him. I don't know if that's something they've been interested in, but it appears that Notre Dame is one of the lone schools that are offering him both as a football and baseball player right now.
Yeah. I mean, that's interesting because obviously to commit that early to Vanderbilt, they're an elite college baseball program. They've won a couple national championships within the last 10 years, you know? So,
well, it was like, do you remember Bodie Cahoon, the 2024 linebacker that committed to Notre Dame? So he was committed to Ohio State pretty early as a lacrosse player, right? So until he said, before his senior year, so it was right after his junior year, he had told everyone that I'm going to play football at the next level. I'm not going to play lacrosse. Then his offers just boomed, right? It was like Miami's coming after him and Tennessee and Notre Dame and Virginia Tech. I just think that Brandon Logan was just a little bit late to that switch of, oh, I'm going to play football type of thing. If he would have done this right after his junior year or during his junior year, I feel like his offer list would be pretty substantial right now, but it's just a timing thing at this point.
So I want to get into Ivan Taylor here a little bit, but I also wanted to preface with this, like before I get specifically to that, I have to say the reporter or, you know, whatever he is who covers Michigan, who's just been out there doing the troll job. I'm not going to say his name because I can't believe the amount of, you know, I've seen all these blogs using his name in the headline, you know, with the takes that he's had on Notre Dame in the last couple of weeks on that. It's like, he's trolling you and you're giving him exactly what, you know, what he wants. I do have to say, you know, like I saw your retweet of you know, what he said after the
that he never yesterday. Answered, John, that he never
exactly,
answered.
Exactly. Because you actually use, you know, straight up facts, you know, to back up what you said to him, you know? So I do, you know, like, I think that you had the perfect response. And then, like you said, for someone who likes to talk a lot, he didn't actually bother to respond to it. But I just can't believe the amount of people who are giving this guy exactly what he wants.
Well, apparently he covered Notre Dame football. I actually kind of briefly remember it. I think he was at BGI when Brian was there at one point, I believe.
I think
he was
covering, that sounds right. That sounds
I think
right.
He was covering it with Mike Singer at that point. I believe they were both kind of the recruiting guys there. But yeah, man, I was just like, hey. Like, this is what I know on the list that's not factual. And I asked him, I was like, are you saying that this is factual? And he never answered. He's responding to other people. He's replying. I felt like I was doing a good job. And then, unfortunately, I got manipulated by Michigan fans in this thread, though, because they started getting super disrespectful. So I did make a comment of like, oh, man, it really stinks in here. That must be a bunch of Michigan fans or something. Like, they just didn't know when to stop. John, it's so funny because I'm just like, do you deny this? And he doesn't answer. And then someone's like, oh, you show the proof. I'm like, bro, your guy's not answering the question. Obviously, right. He's answering it for me. Like, he's answering it right now. It's right. Just, yeah.
I don't know what you have to show the proof for. I mean, you covered it. You know the story.
And I fell victim to it, Sean. I fell victim to it. But I will say, I fell victim to it, but I won ultimately. So as long as I win, that's all that matters.
Right. Right. And I mean, obviously, He's ingratiated himself, you know, to Michigan fans. They obviously love him for what he's doing.
Did you see the one tweet from a Notre Dame fan? I don't remember who it was, but literally he was asked on their message board over there at On3. They said the guy's name. Hey, if you could only have Jadon Blair or Ivan Taylor, you can only choose one. Who would you take? And guess who he said, Sean? Guess who he said?
He said Jadon Blair, probably.
He said Jadon Blair. Exactly. He said Jadon Blair.
Before all of this happened, I assume.
Hilarious,
right?
Dude. Yeah. Hilarious. Hilarious stuff. Yeah.
Love it. And so, of course, Notre Dame, of course, got. Why ultimately did Taylor flip? What did it come down to?
So when the visit stuff started happening, obviously he took an official to Alabama, went to Notre Dame, and then he took the official to Michigan. I remember talking when the Alabama news came out, Sean. I was talking to a source near him, and then I eventually talked to him as well. Originally, it sounded like, because you're trying to get through all the minutiae of this stuff, right? Because there's some things that are truthful. There's some things that aren't. I was told that the starting point to this kind of deteriorating was Chris O'Leary leaving, right? Which was a long time ago at this point. I will say this is, I think there's some validity to at least that starting the crack, right? Like, I'm not saying that completely capsized everything, right? Like, that didn't completely sink the ship, but I do think that a wedge was created in that relationship, because for better or for worse, for stupid or not stupid, or whatever people want to coin with, you know, having a deep relationship with a coach and not with a school, Chris O'Leary did a great job with Ivan Taylor, and Ivan Taylor loved Chris O'Leary. He just did. So when that happened, I do think that there was a little bit of, oh, I think I may have committed too early type of conversation, right?
Sure.
So he eventually opened it up, and I personally just think, and this is my speculation on my part, I just think, Sean, that it was a more even playing field. He visited Bama, visited Notre Dame, visited Michigan, and I just think that he meshed best at Michigan. Like, I just think that's ultimately what it is. There was some conversation, and Brian's reported, and, you know, obviously he's gotten multiple sides on it, that it might also be a numbers conversation, right? Because Michigan's only going to take two safeties this year. Notre Dame's taking a three, so there might be a clearer path to playing time for Michigan compared to Notre Dame. that's all well and good. And that I'm sure that's a part of the conversation, but I do ultimately think it is simply he committed too early and then he did late homework and he chose Michigan. That's mostly what I believe is true.
Okay.
And I mean, it stinks.
For sure.
Because people always hyper-focus on the player, right? And he's a top 50 player. He's a fantastic player. He's NFL bloodlines, Ike Taylor's father. But I will say this, having gotten to know Ivan Taylor, having to know his parents, Ike a little bit, but more Danielle Taylor, his mom, who's an awesome lady, it just stinks because everything about him personally says Notre Dame. Everything about him. He is incredibly religious, Catholic kid, spiritual, incredibly hardworking, very, like, not glitz and glamour dude. Like, he barely posts on Twitter and X and all that type of stuff. Like, he just kind of goes about his business. I just think that he convinced himself down the stretch that he was a better fit somewhere else in Notre Dame, which is very unfortunate because I think that he would have thrived in South Bend. But it didn't work out ultimately. Notre Dame has a plan to recover. It was a great thing that he got Jadon Blair because that gives you your stud in the class still. But it is very unfortunate because Ivan Taylor, I do think as a football player and as a person, would have been a great fit in South Bend. It just didn't work out.
Yeah, it sounds like, I think I saw this yesterday, you know, like the, if there's an upside to it, Jadon Blair, when they redid the rankings, like his stock seems like it's going up right now.
Oh, he's so good. He's so good. Jadon is, because full transparency, I said this on the show when Ivan was still in the class and we thought that Ivan would may stick in the class and Jadon comes in the class. I said this statement, so you can't say this is recency bias, right? I think Jadon Blair might be the best player in the class. Like, just overall, that's comparative to Deuce. That's comparative to Chris Burgess. That's comparative to Will Black, any of them, right? Like, I think that Jadon might be the best player in this class. I would not be shocked if he's a top 25 overall player when all is said and done. Maybe not from everyone's recruiting outlet perspective, but like from my own personal opinion, right? Of being like a legit five star, you just don't see guys that are 6'4, 190 pounds, can play from the roof, can come down in the box, can play in the slot. Like, he can just do so many great things.
Yeah.
So yes, getting him definitely softens the blow. Ultimately, you felt great about Jadon with Notre Dame before the Ivan Taylor stuff, though. So would it have been better to have Jadon Blair, Ivan Taylor, and Ethan Long together? Absolutely. But at least you have an elite player in the class. Now, if you get a Brandon Logan, I'm not as high on Logan, I think, as some other people are going to be, but like, if he's your third safety in the class, it's fine. It's fine. You don't have two elite players in the class like you once potentially could have had, but you still have one elite player, in my opinion, a very good one in Ethan Long, and then Brandon Logan that you could develop along the way.
You know, again, this is your days are dwindling here at IB, you know, even though you'll be popping back in, like you said, during the fall with some shows and stuff like that. This is, you know, this is going to be it in terms of recruiting.
Yes.
Do you have like any most memorable stories, crazy stories, funny stories from your time covering the recruiting beat at Notre Dame here at IB?
How much time do we have, Sean? How much time do we have? it's been some wild stuff, man. I mean, honestly, I mean, the Peyton Bowen saga is like one where it just like sticks out immediately because it's
wasn't
like
that long ago. Yeah,
Sean, I literally had a recruit, a current player for Notre Dame, call me the night before National Signing Day and talk to me about Peyton called him. Was on the Zoom with everybody. He's like, I'm signing with Notre Dame. I'm absolutely signing with Notre Dame. Then he goes and flips to Oregon on national television and doesn't sign the letter of intent that ends up in Oklahoma. It was just wild, wild conversation. Like, that was one where it was just like, what the heck is happening? Dylan Edwards was another one. I remember a parent literally texted me 5 minutes before Dylan Edwards publicly decommitted. He would literally went into like their group chat of the 2024 class. It was like, or was that 2023, I guess, 2023 class, and was like, oh, guys, by the way, I'm out, type of thing. And it was just like, what the heck? Where did that come from, right?
So just happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Those were a couple ones that were just like, okay. I mean, there's a million false rumors. I remember Jeremiah Love. This is my favorite one. Jeremiah Love had a commitment date coming up, or no, he didn't even announce his commitment date because he committed with us live at the stadium with Brian, and I was on the other line. But Sean, literally, we knew he had already committed to Notre Dame. He was silently committed to Notre Dame. He was coming on our show to make a commitment. And then there's this late thing like, oh, Texas A&M might be the team to beat for Jeremiah Love. I'm like, yeah, okay, guys. Whatever you guys say. Literally, I'm like talking to his dad on the phone when this tweet comes around. I'm just like, okay, well, I don't think that that's necessarily going to happen, right? So
right.
Jeremiah Love is always one that sticks out. But like more than anything, it's not a wild story. It's not crazy. But the best part of this whole process is been able to get to know some of these parents, man, over the last couple of years. Like, here's one, and I'll send a shout out to him because he's my guy, Don Schuller, Don Schuller's dad. Literally, we text each other, Sean, at least on every holiday, like Happy Thanksgiving, Happy Father's Day, the whole gamut, dude. Because he literally just texted with me the other day, just checking in. He's like, "Oh, I saw you had a career thing. Just checking in with you, how the family is, all that type of stuff." That's the good stuff, man. Like, yeah, even awesome. Though Braylon James is at TCU now, I still text Clint. Like, I still text Clint all the time. You know, again, like, Happy Father's Day, like, all that type of stuff. So, those relationships, Debbie Otting, Shonda Gray, I check in with Shonda every so often as well. Did you see the one where they were doing the dad joke segment on, like, the Notre Dame channel or whatever? They were They were telling really bad dad jokes. I think Cam Williams was the one that was like orchestrating it. And Christian's was so bad, dude. It was such a bad joke, but it was hilarious. If you've ever heard Christian Gray talk or just like how he presents himself, he's just a little bit of a goofball, right? So I literally sent it to Shonda. I'm like, dude, check out your son. Have you seen this? And she hadn't seen it yet. I'm like, this is great, dude. So getting to know people like Shonda, like Don, like Lynn, like Debbie Otting. I mean, there's just been so many great people that I've gotten to know, which has been obviously the best part of this whole process.
Yep. Good stuff. Well, unfortunately, this is it for you here. I appreciate you doing this for the last, what has it been, 2 or 3 months or whatever Absolutely. It's been at this point. And had a lot of fun. Wish you well, of course, and hopefully I'll see you around this season. I know since you'll be on the postgame show, I'll at least be seeing and hearing you on my drives home and the day
I'm
after
sorry to hear that.
The game.
I'm sorry to hear that for you, but yes, yeah, I'll be there. Right. I appreciate it. Nah, man, I appreciate you, Sean. Thank you so much for your time as always. And I already said good luck with Jesse, but I better get an invite to the wedding. You know, I'm going to decline it, but like, I still want an invite to Jesse's wedding. Okay.
That's right. You just want the right of refusal. You want the right to turn it down.
That's it. I just want to say, you know what? I was invited to Jesse Steyer's wedding. I'm not going all the way out to see him, but hey, I was invited there still, man.
That's right. They've got to figure out where it is, when it's going to be first. There's a lot of talks going on with that, right?
We got time, man. So, we got time.
Yep. Yeah. All right, Ryan, take care. I'll talk to you later, buddy.
Thank you, buddy.
And Ryan checks out. Jesse checks in. What do you think, Jess? Are you going to put Ryan on your list?
He's on the fringe.
On the fringe.
He's on
right.
the fringe.
He's in the chat right now. So
I don't even know if Vince is going to get an invite.
You know, I think when you're figuring out who's going to get an invitation and who's not, you have to sort of weigh what's the benefit of sending this invitation. And let's be honest, you're not going to get more than a $10 anything from Vince as a gift, right? Like,
a $10 gift certificate to McDonald's.
I know. If you're lucky. Well, you came in just in time because I tell you what, we've got to talk Ted down off the ledge with all this, you know, recruiting stuff that's going on right now. There's been all kinds of dysfunction going on in the chat. Guys haven't even actually announced their commitments yet. You know, I know what direction. You know, it might be trending. You know, I'm not going to try to put perfume on a pig, but guys haven't even committed yet. So let's at least wait to see how it plays out. Within the next 9 days, all three of these guys are supposed to announce their commitment. So let's at least wait and see. You know, Ted is very down on...
You can't catch them all, though.
On Mike Brown. Yeah, you know, like... DJ, does anyone know if Ted Power is a Mike Brown fan? My vote is no. Would be my vote. DK, I thought, had the best response of all. Ted, do you always find out about family functions after they happen? If so, you might want to reassess a little bit. Like, did you get the wedding invite a month after your nephew got married? Actually, Ted, let's just, again, let's chill. I know you can talk about technicalities or whatever, but look, I want to say this as well. This is not all on one coach, okay? I'm not trying to like redirect, shift blame or anything like that, but this recruiting process, it's not just the position coaches who are out there doing the recruiting. Chad Bowden is a huge part of this. Marcus Freeman is still part of this. Mike Denbrock, the offensive coordinator, is part of this. Again, I'm not trying to shift blame, but it's not just on Mike Brown for what's going on. And we're also talking about one recruiting cycle. And if they don't get any of these guys, yeah, that would really suck, right? But, you know, the transfer portal is still a thing. They showed that with the kind of guys that they went out and got this year, you know. And let's look at what the room is going to look like. In any case, you've got K.K. Smith, who's still a really young, talented guy who we haven't got to see, you know, very much of yet. Micah, you know, redshirt freshman. He's still got all of his eligibility remaining. Micah Gilbert, Cam Williams, Logan Saldati, you know, all really good freshmen in this class who obviously all still have 4 years of eligibility left. Jordan Faison has 3 years of eligibility left. Jaden Greathouse still has 3 years of eligibility left. And you look to the 26th class, they've got two commits, a stud quarterback and a stud wide receiver. Dylan Faison is one of them. You know, so even if it doesn't work out in this class, it's not going to be the end of the world. There's still going to be a ton of talent in the wide receiver room, and they can still work on the 26th class as well. That's the end. Ted, you're pushing time out at this point because it's just it's going overboard right now. So have a drink or, you know, whatever you do to do you, just do it for a little bit. Reel it in. Let's relax. Take a deep breath. It's not the end of the world if they don't lock up a bunch of stud wide receivers in this class, is my point. End of sermon. And like I said, I'm not trying to put perfume on pigs or anything, but nothing to add to that, Jess. I know you kind of came in on the
end. It sounds like a wide receiver Meadows didn't pick Notre Dame. And some people feel that the wide receiver class recruiting hasn't gotten better.
Now, Andrew was saying, you need to stack classes in the, I get it. You do, but they can still go to the transfer portal to help fill in the gaps where they do miss. And if they have to keep leaning on the portal a little bit at this position specifically over the next couple of years, like if they're able to go out and get a Bo Collins and a Chris Mitchell and a Jaden Harrison, I think that those kind of guys are still going to be available, you know, as they go forward in the portal as well. So my point is, yeah, you want to stack classes. Obviously, everyone wants to stack classes. But my point is, you can still keep going out. And if you have, you know, some misses at different positions, you can still fill in the gap with the transfer portal, like they've shown that they can do the last couple of years. We'll be right back.